Welcome to the WLS Gut Health Podcast, your solution to restoring stomach and intestinal health after weight loss surgery. Welcome, everyone, to the WLS Gut Health Podcast. My name is Dawn Boxall, and I am your host. And today I wanted to talk to you about three ways intestinal bacteria hijack cravings. So, kind of an interesting topic. Some people may not relate that to cravings, but there's actually quite a few studies on cravings. And the one that I kind of particularly focused on for this podcast is one that was published in the BioEssays in 2014 in October, and it's titled, Is Eating Behavior Manipulated by the Gastrointestinal Microbiota? Evolutionary Pressures and Potential Mechanisms. So let's just give a little bit of background on your gut. So your gut is home to trillions of microorganisms, and technically we are made of 1% is really our genes, 99% is really, we're really bacterial. So what does gut bacteria really do? And this is not an all-inclusive list. This is just really the tip of the iceberg. And as we are learning more and more on our microbiome, this list is going to grow. But to start, in the purpose of, you know, a weight loss surgery patient and how this applies to your life, I'm pulling out the most important things for you so you have a good understanding of the importance of your gut bacteria and why you need to protect them and preserve them and grow them. So your gut bacteria actually extract energy from food. Most of you know it builds your immunity. That's, you know, most people understand that. And protects against infection. And some of you may or may not know that your gut bacteria can actually regulate metabolic processes. So they play a role in your metabolism. And your gut bacteria can affect your brain and your behavior, which to me is totally fascinating, that you can really alter a person's behavior by really focusing on their gut health. And I have seen it and done it, and it is pretty amazing in all aspects. How your gut bacteria communicate to your brain is through the vagus nerve, and that's kind of really just a super highway for communication between your gut and your brain, and it's actually the longest nerve cell in your autonomic nervous system. So what is your autonomic nervous system? And that is kind of your unconscious things that you do. So things that you don't even have to think about doing. Think about breathing and your heart beating and those automatic things that you do that you really don't have to think about doing. And another thing that intestinal bacteria, what they've learned is that different types of bacteria actually prefer different food and dietary sources. So what does that really mean? Certain species of microorganisms will grow and feed off of certain foods more than the others. So, kind of an example, more of the bacteria that is associated with inflammation and diseases, diabetes and cancer and weight regain and more of those diseases that we don't want, those types of strains of bacteria, they prefer more carbs and processed kind of the package prepared fast foods, they prefer those as a food source. Whereas when you find the different species of microorganisms that are more anti-inflammatory and they are related with kind of a remission of diabetes and no cancer and just kind of a neutral state in our body where we are healthy, those bacteria feed and grow off of vegetables, especially fruits, just whole real food. Those are the things that will actually grow your bacteria. So it's not that you don't eat starch, because actually there's some pretty big starchy things that feed our great food for the bacteria, which we call prebiotics. So the food for bacteria is prebiotics. So they, you know, there are some very high starchy foods that actually are great food sources that will flourish and kind of build up that army of the good guys pretty quickly. So now that you have that little bit of background on, the overall perspective of what the role is, you know, with your gut, the three ways that your intestinal bacteria kind of hijacked your cravings is, one, with gut diversity, two, they alter taste receptors, and three, they hijacked your nervous system. So let me kind of cover each one separately. So far, with the gut diversity, they've been able to identify at least 400 different types of bacteria that we have in our gut. Some studies have said up to 1,000 different. I think that number is just going to continue to grow as this area continues to expand and grow. I think that number is going to grow with it, because they're just going to continue to find, you know, different types of bacteria in different scenarios with health. So diversity means the types, how many do you have represented in your intestines? So the more you have represented is better. So if you have more strains of different species, that's a positive thing. That gives you more anti-inflammatory properties. That gives you less diseases, because your body is really functioning how it's supposed to be. It's not been, you know, bombarded too much by environmental factors. So what kind of dictates that? We talked a little bit already about the food and the big connection between the types of food that you eat. So that's a real main thing, but also like the environmental toxins. So things that you are the areas in the world that have more pollution in the air and more chemicals in their environment that they're exposed to, and, you know, the different things we slather on our body. So it's not just what you put in your body, but also what you're breathing in and what you're putting on top of your skin. So all those impact your gut health. So the food you eat, the environmental toxins, and then stress. So stress can definitely manipulate those bacteria very quickly. I'll get into that at another topic or another podcast, because it's awesome, some of the studies that they have with how stress really does change your microbiome. So that will be a later one. But I do find that it is so interesting how just not having enough adequate varieties of bacteria in your intestines can really determine your eating behaviors, can determine your health risks. So more diversity is positive, and that's what we want to help you accomplish. So some of the research on this study talked about the bifidobacteria. They flourish with dietary fiber. So most intestines have the main two types of bacteria, which is from the bifido family as well as the lactobacillus. So those are the most common ones to date that they really see a lot of species from. They find that in different areas of the world, we have specialist type microbes. So what that is like in Japan, they have found that they have some special microbes that digest seaweed in the humans in Japan because they consume lots of seaweed. And in Africa, they have found that they have unique microbes that digest the cellulose from sorghum. So kind of interesting. So it depends on where you live and your environment as to those microbes that you will find in your digestive tract. Some other cool facts is a strain called Prevotella. It grows best on carbohydrates. Bacteroidetes has a substrate preference for certain fats. So it's easy to kind of get the picture of how that those bacteria in our gut can really start manipulating what we choose to eat. So how do gut bacteria alter taste receptors? In one study, it was able to show that mice had altered taste receptors for fat on their tongues and in their intestines. And then another study showed that some germ-free mice preferred more sweets and had greater numbers of sweet taste receptors in the GI tract compared to normal mice. So what do these results really tell us? That microbes could influence food preferences by altering the receptors in your mouth, so and in your intestines. Which there's actually a few studies on this with weight loss surgery patients in how having bariatric surgery actually changes taste receptors expression and their activity once someone has had gastric bypass. So you've learned about the importance of gut diversity. You've learned about how the microbes can alter taste receptors. And next is, or the third one, is how they hijack your nervous system. We already talked about the vagus nerve that runs from your gut to your brain and how this is kind of the super highway for your intestines to communicate with your brain and your brain to communicate with your intestines. So there are millions of neurons of the enteric nervous system in the gut that connects to the base of the brain at the medulla. So that's kind of where the connections lie with the vagus nerve. And these enteric nerves have receptors that actually react to the presence of particular bacteria and metabolites, like short-chain fatty acids. Now we're only going to talk about the particular bacteria. And one example is Lactobacillus rhamnosus, a certain strain of that, has already been, identified in several studies that it can actually decrease anxiety and depression in individuals. And this is all by way of the vagus nerve. They've actually kind of tested it on mice that they had severed their vagus nerve and it did not work on them. So hopefully, kind of getting this full circle now, if you think about, how diverse is my gut and, taste receptors and my intestinal receptors been altered by the types of bacteria that I have in my body, or have they hijacked my vagus nerve that have all played a role in where I'm at with my weight loss or where I'm at with my health, like in diabetes or high blood pressure or cancer, have those played a role? Or even if you think of the depression and anxiety, is that part of the picture for you? So now you have this full circle and these three ways that intestinal bacteria hijack cravings. So if you've you're in this position, what do you do about it? How can you change it? And there's three simple answers. So you can start adding in good quality probiotics with several different strains of the bifidobacterium and the lactobacillus, also including fermented foods. Those will help add in probiotics at a high level as well. And it just has to be continuous. It's not whether at the beginning you even notice changes. The changes can be subtle and it can take months, because think of it this way, you are trying to overtake an environment that is full of the bad guys, and you've got to build up your army of good guys so they can overtake the bad guys. So that takes some time. So it is kind of dependent on what you do with the other two things I'm going to talk about, and that's prebiotics. That will speed up the process and get more of your good guy army going faster. Those, making sure that you have prebiotics with your probiotics, and then just eating the prebiotic-rich foods. And those are things that have fermentable fibers. And those are foods like plantains, onions, garlic, and it needs to be raw garlic, sweet potatoes, or in your probiotic supplements, they use inulin or some type of resistant starch. So, you know, making sure you have prebiotics on board regularly is key. And these doses of prebiotics and probiotics, if you need to kind of do them in hefty doses in order to get change. You have trillions of bacteria. So if you do just like 1 billion and it doesn't have any prebiotics, you're probably not going to see a lot of change. So it doesn't mean you need, you know, 100 billion or 500 billion. Sometimes you do, but not always. But you do need to have a decent amount of colony-forming units, no less than 10 billion CFUs, and preferably in the 20s and 50s, and you can get up in the hundreds, and that will help. And then your food, your diet. You honestly have a powerful impact with the food you choose. By choosing good quality meats and making sure that you have lots of vegetables and fruits with the skin on so that you're getting those fibers, that's a key piece. And that will help control, you know, what your bacteria are doing. Are they growing? Are they flourishing? Or are they being overtaken by a diet of processed foods? I sure hope you enjoyed today's show and that you learned something new. Check us out at WLSgutHealth.com. Make sure you get signed up for our newsletter so you are the first to know of what is going on new in gut health with weight loss surgery patients. If you like today's show, make sure you go into iTunes and leave us a rating. And hopefully it is a 5-star because you are super excited about restoring your gut health. And if you would take the time to write a review and share what excites you the most, that would be so appreciated, because shows are ranked inside of iTunes based on reviews and stars. So we look forward to becoming your solution to restoring your stomach and intestinal health after weight loss surgery.